Like I said, these are all proposals, but I think everybody that in the employee down there should be part of a step process. But if you guys say, you know, we didn't envision that and we don't want that,
is Jen coming tonight?
No.
Okay. You have to look at this.
These are open. Mine's on.
Okay.
I don't know if this is on.
So is everything, the system's on now?
Yep.
Okay. This will open up this special meeting. It's a workshop, more of anything else, by the Board of Water Commissioners of the Catoosa Fire District to discuss the employee performance evaluation stuff we're trying to work out here. So at 6 o'clock exactly on Wednesday, November 1st, and we have all three commissioners here along with the head water guy.
Superintendent.
Superintendent. I like the head water guy better.
Okay.
So we have in our packets here stuff we've been looking at for a period of time now on the superintendent duties and responsibilities, office manager job description, and system operator's job description. Do we want to, where do we want to start with this?
I suggest we start with the system operator job description evaluation. Work.
Job descriptions and evaluations for all three.
Just ideas for evaluations here.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
And so definition, system operator provides skilled technical and manual work that is necessary for the efficient and safe operation of Catoosa's water supply systems. Duties and responsibilities. One. Through scheduled and routine checking ensures proper operation of all mechanical, electrical, and electromagnetic and electronic equipment, including valves, switches, meters, chemical feed systems, pumps, cameras, etc., are fully operational with the goal of providing a safe, adequate supply of high-quality water for all customers. Do you want to go bullet by bullet here?
It's up to you guys. Yeah. I mean, I this is like, you know,
all
I
right,
yeah. For me to get back to it, see where all my errors are. It's like, why?
So let's just go through all the bullets and see if anything jumps. We need to go back on the stuff. The next one, performs repairs and maintenance on equipment that the system operator is authorized to service. Secures structures, grounds, vehicles, and equipment to prevent damage, theft, or vandalism. Collects water samples from all stations and from designated points in the water supply system. Performs leak detection as necessary to maintain service and safety and to minimize any wastage. Performs flushing operations as necessary. Installs new services and performs shutoff, turn-on services, and meter readings as directed. Collects information from testing, maintenance, flushing, and service operations and records all information in an accurate, concise manner. Maintains a safe, clean, healthful work environment. Treats all fellow district employees, residents, and general public with respect, responds to requests in a courteous manner. Other duties as assigned. Okay, so Chris, and as a superintendent, the important thing for me besides all the duties this list, I mean, there is the last one, other duties as assigned, as can be a catch-all of stuff that we just haven't
thought. Which is something I wanted to make sure it was in, yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, because everything, you know, I don't want to, every time something comes up, I have to go have somebody say it's not on my description.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if it just said that, I would be happy.
Yeah.
You know, all duties assigned by or and everything, that would be fine because, you know, they basically can do everything from collect the trash and go to the dump. To, you know, hold the lawn if they need to, you maintain round fire hydrants to, you know, putting in water services or fixing a pump.
Paint the hydrant.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a jack of all.
Yeah.
Do those first eight bullets pretty much cover their primary responsibilities
correct.
With regards
correct.
To
and
the
then
operation?
The other stuff is whatever at the time, you
right.
know, home that we
yep.
need to do, we'll do.
I'm just want I just want to make sure that the primary
yep.
responsibilities are listed there so that the other guys know that's expected. You've
mm-hmm.
got to do that. And then there's other stuff that comes up, and they understand that.
Right.
So. Okay. So we have a list of things here which describe, as I would understand, the duties, plus I hope we all understand a whole bunch of other things that are could be everything that includes, like you say, taking the garbage out to painting hydrants, shoveling the driveway,
right.
the walkway, stuff like that. So, has any of the operators, I know we have three, one senior one and two very new ones, have they expressed any interest in doing more or want to know
have.
More?
Yeah, they both have.
Yeah.
But
what kind
have.
Of what
they
kind
more
stuff are they?
Yeah.
Examples of more equals what?
I've been asked by both of them if they could go do cross connection,
mm-hmm.
which it's hard because I can only maintain so many licenses. Right now we have two guys that are certified and cost another $600 to certify somebody, 700, whatever it is. And once we get in there, then you have to be able to perform so many tests a year, so many surveys a year to stay certified. And if I had any more than two, I couldn't keep that amount of work.
That's right. I understand.
Yeah. So, I mean, they're saying if anybody ever wants to drop, I do it, you know. You know, and I have guys constantly asking, you know, don't just tell me what to do. Show me how to do it, you know, and stuff like that. They're always willing to learn, and even with classes.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think I don't want to speak for everyone here, but I would assume that would be something we would encourage and not, that's a good thing. So, unless there's any more discussion on duties and responsibilities, we'll just read the stand-up authority then. The system operator works under the direct supervision of the Couture Water Department Superintendent. They're able to make independent decisions within the limits of the authorities delegated by the superintendent and covered by their training and licensing. They may be asked to provide guidance and informal training to new junior employees from time to time. Directs information requests to the Water District Office when the requests involve administrative or billing issues. So, in any organization, there's a leader. Is the span of control. And in that organization, one person gives the orders and it goes down. And they don't have two or three people tell them what to do. They have one person tell them what to do and chew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is a pretty normal organizational system.
The only thing I think you can add here, you know, whether it's necessary, is also all policy correct. All policy questions are correct.
Well, give me an example of a policy.
I guess if somebody asked, if they didn't have to pay their water bill, if they could delay it for another 6 months before they paid it, that definitely would be a policy question. And I mean, it's something we wouldn't want to deal with.
Yeah, without saying that's above my job grade or anything like that, the guys usually have said, you know, like, hey, here's my boss's number. You need that done. You give him a call, and he'll set you up with what to do. He might send us out to do it, but he's got to make that decision. So I understand what you're trying to say there.
I'm not sure policy is the right word for it.
But yeah, it might not be policy. Anything above... I don't know if I want to say training or What I did,
I mean, this line that says they can make decisions within the limits of authorities delegated by the superintendent.
That's basically
good.
Covering it right there.
That's pretty
yeah.
good. Yeah. Covered by training and licensing.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is something I had a question on, is should there be a bullet for water treatment up here? Because we get into maintenance and repairs, and it seems like all the physical system, and it doesn't deal with the water quality, which I think they're doing, right? Are they responsible for adding appropriate chemicals, checking for appropriate chemicals, maintaining water quality, and if they get out of their area of comfort, they call you and say, "What
yeah,
are you doing?" Or is that covered?
And do they have a checklist or a protocol to go by?
If you look at that
eighth bullet, it's covered under the evaluation, the levels.
I mean, maybe it's there and collects information.
Licensing levels and stuff. Something
yeah.
later on, it's covered.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to put it into the right away because.
Well, it's got collects information from testing, maintenance, flushing. So they collect the data. Are they responding to that data at all, or do they need to touch base with you first?
Right. I mean, there's certain things, like they shouldn't be taking the sample until they've had a sample class. They shouldn't really be touching the chemical feed pumps until someone sat down and showed them how they work, you know, and how to safely work near them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, as trained, I guess we could put in there or something with that there. But, you know, some of the stuff, if you're certified in distribution and in treatment, you're going to learn some of that stuff right then and there
yep.
of what you should do, what you shouldn't do. So it might be something to add as a bullet point, like you said, or it just might see it as training provide
mm-hmm.
something to that effect, yeah.
Well, it's kind of covered there in that second sentence on the span of authority.
Right.
And covered by their training and licensing, so. Okay.
Okay. I think when we finish reading the whole, both pages on this, we might be able to move back and forth
yeah.
between the bullet points and everything else. So I'll just finish
okay.
this last couple things. Under work environment, work is performed in both field and shop situations. Field operations may involve working in inclement weather during hours of darkness or beyond a normal 8-hour workday. In the shop environment, the operator may be exposed to hazardous conditions, including potentially dangerous equipment, electrical shock, and chemicals. Discharging their duties may require heavy physical exertion or working in confined spaces. We will be on call for all working hours, after working hours, or weekend work on a rotating basis. Requirements. A minimum of or the equivalent of a high school diploma. Preference given to the applicants with advanced certificates and or degrees. License for grade D1 distribution, grade T1 treatment from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts within 2 years of hire date. A valid Massachusetts driver's license. CPR, first aid, and OSHA training. Employees are subject to mandatory drug and alcohol testing and a CORI check. Must live within a 10-mile radius of the district. So the 10-mile radius at the bounds of the district going out 10 miles.
Right.
Not road miles, but
right.
as a crow flies.
Yep. And that's basically because of,
I mean, that's
if they're on call,
yeah.
Yeah.
they have to be able to respond within a certain time. But the problem that I've run into, and that was put up by Kenny, when
mm-hmm.
Kenny was here,
yeah.
10 miles does put you over the canal.
Yeah.
That's the crow flies. And sometimes on a Friday afternoon, you know, them bridges, somebody
yeah.
might not make it here in half an hour.
Yeah.
So, you know, I almost.
Do we have anyone that lives over the bridge right now?
No, but I almost got called on that. That's the only reason I figured it out, because one of the guys we hired that lived over there at one time, and he had a certain time to move over, and he didn't. He ended up leaving.
Yeah. I think,
but he never was on call.
10 yeah. miles to put you over the bridge?
Just
yeah.
over into Sagamore someplace. Just bailed.
Another consideration here is, you know, what they're getting paid, can they afford to live?
Well, that
here.
Was what the guy said, yeah.
But, you know, if you start moving them up in steps, commensurate
right.
with training and longevity and experience, you know, that might go away a little bit. I mean, they're not going to get rich on these jobs, but that might help mitigate that.
Right.
A little bit.
Yeah.
It may help us retain them too. But I
you could make it a 7-mile radius or something like that.
Yeah.
The idea for me is the distance from town boundaries, district boundaries, is more, it's needed more with a small department when you have a few people to work with.
Yeah.
If you have a big department, you have 20 guys, and you have a big pool of people to pick from, then you might have someone, you know, you might have a different work schedule. Someone might be on duty 24 hours a day, you know. And that's okay if someone lives over the bridge because they come for their regular work day.
Right.
The radius when I started working in Sandwich was X amount of miles as a crow flies from the high school. Well, now they got 48 guys working. They go 10 miles as a crow flies from the town boundaries. And if that goes into another town, it includes a whole other town. So you can really spread out.
Right.
They're not needed to be coming back all the time.
Right.
Because there's so many people on duty.
Yeah, it's just so I get the one guy on duty, and that's the only thing that scares me.
Yeah.
He still has to be able to respond within 30 minutes, so he has to take that into, you know, the same, whether maybe you won't be able to respond, you know, be on duty in the summertime then. If you still can't respond, you can't.
Well, you could put in must be within a 10-mile radius of the district whenever on call or on duty. Or be within a 5-mile radius, you know, then they're on the Cape.
And then they don't have to live here. I have one guy,
but they got to be staying here when they're on call. You know?
I have one guy that lived in Wareham, and he would live at his girlfriend's house when he was on duty here.
Right.
When he was working.
You know, so
I mean, he lived at his girlfriend's house in Mashpee. That was her parents' house he could live at.
Yeah.
Now they're married and bought a house in Mashpee, but that's different.
Yeah.
So we've never really had a problem with it yet. But that doesn't mean it couldn't be a problem.
Right. I mean, I could see it down the line, but not with the guys I have here now. Unless they can't find a house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me just highlight this one thing so we'll come back to that.
Yeah.
Come back to it.
Yeah. Right. That, I don't want to stop there in lieu of all the other stuff.
Have the operators seen this?
No.
They haven't?
No. I haven't showed them anything right now until we get down to a point where we've discussed something and decided, you know, it looks good.
Yeah.
I mean, that way I'll give everybody a little bit chance to view it, if so, out there before anything's really voted on. I don't know if we have to, but I think it would be courteous enough just to say, hey, listen, guys, this is what we're talking about. This is what we're looking at pay. You know, this is what I'd like to put you guys at. You know, this is what we've done a survey. This is what it's at. This is what's come out. And I've been talking to them about it and everything. And I'm not saying they're expecting it so much, but they're a little antsy about it. Like, you guys still discussing it? Are you getting there? What's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. All right. They're curious.
Yeah.
That's good. I think it looks great. I mean, and I think if you're happy with it and with the caveats, the other duties as assigned, you know, able to make independent decisions within the limits of the authorities delegated by the superintendent, covered by training and licensing, I mean, that keeps enough options open for them to be able to expand their licensing and training and do more things, as well as for you to say to them, hey, you guys, you need to go do this, and you have the ability to do it.
The thing about that you brought up about answering questions that might be better directed towards Chris, they should understand that as an employee of the water department, when they speak to the public takes what they say as, you know, they're representing the department. So they need to be careful about, you know, making statements that aren't really true.
Right. Yeah, you can't pull a wool over their eyes or whatever you want to say.
Well, it just is not worth it. I'd rather say I don't know and talk to Chris.
Right, and that's what they do.
Than
right
anything
now.
Else.
Yeah, they're not comfortable answering something they don't.
Yeah.
I was looking through this, and the only thing I kind of wondering about, and it might be a possibility to add on this, other duties assigned and everything. And I don't know if it should be on the job description or into the execution and these other things, but we do have, and I don't know if I gave you a copy of the workbook that we have, the employee handbook.
I've got it. Yeah.
There's a lot of things in here that say, you know, how you can be, what you can be fired for. I'd like to see, you know, things that you can do, things you can't do. I'd like to see something that just says in here, follows or follows the employee handbook regulations,
yeah.
Or something like that. Because it would like
that would not come under requirements. That probably would come under responsibilities, wouldn't it?
Expand the authority. You could put a sentence in there that says, you know, under first sentence.
That was falling apart. So
yeah, that's right.
I could find it. You can go ahead and peek at it. If anybody, I might be able to get an electric version. If I do, I'll send it to everybody just so they have it in their own files.
Yeah, I've got an old copy.
Now, when they get this copy, do they have to sign something saying
yes.
They got it and they
yes.
And they sign about
this? And that is one of the things when they're hired
yeah.
that says, you know, we do the Corey check on them. We give
yeah.
them one of these and say, here, I've read it and accept it.
Yeah.
And we put it in their file. So maybe even in, you know,
so it talks to the section here in personnel policies, personnel regulations, employment applications.
Tells them
employee
about what
categories, disciplinary action, discharge, disputes, grievances, procedures, guidelines.
About a sentence in that span of authority after the first sentence, and just adding a sentence, they follow the directions detailed in the Tua Water Department employee handbook. There's a lot of detail.
Yeah.
And when they get hired, they read, like I said, they read this, sign it within so long, saying they read it, understand it. Because there's a lot of things in here that, you know, I still have to go back. It tells you what holidays you got off. You know, it tells you what you don't, you know, that they've read it and understand it,
yeah.
Basically. So, and it helps a lot of my little notes that I look at here that I run into that are my pet peeves and stuff like that, you know. I think, not to sound like my mother, but, you know, being nice is one of the best things out there,
yeah.
You know, to people and everything else. You know, public relations is everything in this department, because if you're seen as a jerk, you're not going to get anything. You know, it's everybody. It's our bread and butter.
When you're dealing with the public, you get a lot more when you deal with a smile.
Right.
You know,
and if they follow this, it basically tells them they got to follow directions, which is, you know, if I tell them to go do something and they don't do it, you know, the right way or anything like that, well, you didn't tell me to do it that way. You know, that's one thing. It tells them when the day is, so if they're punctual, it's in here.
Yeah.
You know, if I want to say, listen, you know, you're coming in 10 past every day, you know, you're not following this handbook, you know, let's do it.
I think Mimi actually put that together.
Well, there was a personal personnel policy that was put together years and years ago. It was revamped by Paul Wiggins, Jen's grandfather, looked at it at one time.
That was a long time.
Yeah, and then it was looked at again and brought up by Jack Thomas, and probably, I think Rick was involved then, and they redid it. And this last time we did it, we had Warren Rutherford come through, and we paid him to put all the actual HIPAA laws and all the stuff now that we don't know, but that get changed every year. I mean, it's almost to the point where we might have to ask him just to review to make sure
everything's up to date. date.
Everything's up to date in there, yeah. That all the different laws that we have to adhere by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Me being, you know, what I can say to him, what I can't, what I can ask him, what I can't.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that just popped in my mind is, did they require it to an state ethics test as an employee?
No. There's no requirement that we have.
Okay.
Well, they have a Corey check.
Yeah,
yeah,
but
they should have a state ethics board check.
Pretty much,
most
I have to do it
do.
Every 2 years as my job in Sandwich. I have to do it every 2 years, my job at the county. I have to do it every 2 years here.
Yeah. Likewise, as a teacher.
Yeah.
You could put that
fish and wildlife biologist had to do it.
It's a very simple process to go through.
Yeah.
It really is. But I think it probably be, you talk about things change over time.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that's changed. It's
that
become more of an issue that has
so
to
that would be in that rather than
do you think that would be more for Jen and I or for
everyone. And any employee.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you could put that up here for level two system.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're looking at your different levels and stuff like that. Yeah.
Ethics training.
For everyone.
Yeah.
And that should be a requirement then, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that can go under the requirement. Okay. Maintaining the every 2 year ethics.
Yeah, he's saying that here in your level two requirements that he has a little draft on.
Yeah, that OSHA in there should be OSHA, not OCA. Okay. Maybe that's OSHA on 11-7. But so you have a requirement in there for ethics training. And that's alpha by the state going?
Oh yeah, it's online.
It's online.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to do it when I got elected.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's great. Means you have to take it at the federal level.
Yeah. It's we can find out if you have a way to do it, but it's mass.gov.
I can probably, yeah.
You know, ethics. And then there's two, whether it's a county or whether you're an elected official or an employee of a district, town, county, or state. There's two different ones to go by. You go through it. Probably takes, if you go through the whole thing, the way it's laid out, maybe an hour. You know? And then you get a strip that gets printed up that keep in the file. So we're good with our draft of the system operator's job description. The only thing we're still haven't quite covered, we passed over the thing about the 10-mile radius.
You know, you might want to put must be able to follow on-call requirements to be on call.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, got to respond in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So if you pull 10 miles out and over the bridge, there's a good chance you're not going to make it. You know, you got to be able to confidently say, yeah, I can go on call because I can do that. And
right.
If I get a complaint, they don't, then they don't.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, it's a different.
We all know, I mean, I had to go to the dentist in Falmouth, Main Street Falmouth this morning. It took me over half an hour because of all the buses.
I got. I'm going to tell you something. When I was first started here years and years ago, I'll tell you how, after the 9th, it'll be 30, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But Lenny, who was working here at the time, I came in, I was talking, I said, boy, did you see them fireworks? And they were great. He goes, where'd you go to the fireworks? I said, downtown Hyannis. I said, I saw some fireworks. I said, my friend lives down the street. We parked at his house. It was unbelievable.
He said, well.
Yeah, and he goes, so you're on call, right? I said, yeah. I wasn't drinking. Don't worry about it, I said. And he goes, no, I'm just saying, if you got a call. He says, and everybody was leaving, how are you going to get through that traffic and get back here? But the fireworks just finished. And I went, Boy, I don't know.
I was in my boat.
Yeah. And I was only in Hyannis. I'm like, geez, how am I going to make it back in 30 minutes?
Right.
Or whatever it was, 30 minutes at the time.
So do we want to eliminate a definitive distance and we cover it with you must be able to respond within 30 minutes for on-call responsibility?
I'd like to keep that 10-mile radius in there still, just because if someone says, well, I won't be on call then, then it doesn't put the burden onto just two people that they got to be on call every other weekend. Some people wouldn't mind it. Some people would. You know, there's some some people want a life. Some people don't have a life.
So you like that, and you want to add another bullet that says when you're on call, you got to be within. You got to be within 30 minutes of district boundary.
Yeah. So you know you can work that out however you want. Like I said, one of the guys did one
don't
time.
Don't go offshore fishing.
Yeah. Hey, I rent an apartment down at the Kachua underneath the Kettle Hub. Something like
whatever
that.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
People can get creative.
I've been under there.
So if I had to do a survey in there once. That's not the funnest place to be.
But you could say, put that all in one sentence, must be able to respond within 30 minutes of an on-call request and live within 10-mile radius of...
No, I think it's two separate things.
I think two separate would be
Because,
the best because I don't want them tied together.
So just to be able to do on-call...
Yeah.
You have to be able to respond within 30 minutes.
Right. To able to respond to be on call,
On call must be within district limits, within 30 minutes.
Must be able to respond within 30 minutes.
Well, but must be within the district limits?
No.
You can respond from Boston. You can say, hey, I'm on my way. Is that a response?
No, you have to be able to be here within 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Must be able to respond to on-call requests within 30 minutes. To, it's not quite, that qualifies not the word I'm looking for, but to be able to be considered for on-call duty.
Right. For emergency duty.
Instead of respond to, withdraw an address.
What do you mean?
Must be able to address those requests, so that's, instead of just responding.
All right, must be able to respond within to call
requests.
Must
be able to address call requests within 30 minutes of notification.
Must be able to.
So you have to deal with it.
There is a word. I don't have as many words as I used to.
Satisfy works.
Satisfy works. Maybe a better word. Try satisfy.
When on call, must be able to satisfy necessary requests within 30 minutes of notification.
Well, it's not so much satisfy. You need to be on location.
Yeah.
You need to be there to start addressing it. It may take a while to satisfy it, but you need to get there.
Must be able to be present and active.
You looking for the word, Chris?
Yeah, but I can't even find it on call right now. Be right here. How are we?
Use a double word there. Respond and satisfy. So you have to respond and have to do whatever you need to do to satisfy the oncoming request.
I need, yeah. I think I'll respond.
I'll think of the word about 3 o'clock.
Yeah. See, there's two ways to look at respond. One is, okay, it's been 30 minutes and now I'm going. Or 30 minutes to actually start dealing with it.
The person who is on call is expected to respond to an emergency site within 30 minutes of the initial call.
So you have to be on site.
Yeah, yeah. You got to respond to the emergency site. You can use that.
It's the same word.
Yeah.
Keep consistent.
Yeah. It's put in here as the assistant superintendent and the water operators will be required to rotate an on-call duty in one-week intervals, Friday 4:30 p.m. to the following Friday 8 a.m. And holidays will also be on a rotating basis. The person who is on holiday has the duty for the entire week. Sometimes on vacation, assistant superintendent, assistant superintendent, senior operators, senior duties.
Why don't we move on? We're just beating ourselves up here.
Yep.
Wordsmith one word.
Yep.
There's another thing. We can insert that sentence or modify that sentence later.
Okay. So we have an evaluation, employee evaluation thing here.
Well, I don't know if you want to get that first or the levels, but whatever way you guys want to go.
All right. Well, let's just talk in general the concept of steps. This is what they're talking about, steps, right?
Yeah, levels or steps.
All right. My experience has been if you have a step process, you start at 1 through 5, the last step is 100% of your pay. So the first step is 80% of your pay. And so they would be starting lower than the base pay in each year. Stepping up, they get a pay increase to get to 100%.
On the federal side, in practice, it may work like that. But I mean, you can bring people in at, you know, say, a GS-9 step one, and, you know, after a year, they'll advance to a step two, unless you don't think they've, you know, made the qualifications. And there's all kind of things. So it's not based on 80% or 90%. You know, there's a starting level and you move up in steps, and then those steps get further apart as you get more years of experience. It goes a step a year, to a step every 2 years, to a step every 3 or 5 years. But it's not a percentage. There's, you know, level one, and it goes through level 10, which, you know, gets complicated because there's an overlap between.
But then it ties us into it ties us into adding more pay to the budget, and we have to be able to evaluate all these things, and it can be, is it arbitrary, is it objective, is there a list of things that they do, A, B, C, and D, then okay, I know I got it, there's no ifs, ands, or buts, or is it just a matter of time, after a mere 7 years, I can be level 5?
And that's where, you know, the evaluation comes in.
Yeah.
Where I started at here was with this table. I don't know whether I fell on a chicken scratching here or not, but I came up with kind of a mean level for the operators. And I know the other towns' operators aren't entirely equivalent. Some of them are very specialized. They do one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them do everything. Some of them are union, some of them are not union. Anyway, I kind of tried to sort that all out and come up with different levels for our guys. Definitely at 42, they're below most of the other departments.
Yeah, all of them that are listed here.
Yeah.
Well, the initially started as looking at all the other departments and talking about and come up with a wage adjustment to come into more of a realistic alignment with the value of the job, not only to us, but to other places that, you know, they may feel they'd be treated better.
Sure.
Or, you know, they've got families they want to take care of them, and they're looking at, you know, everything on the Cape getting more expensive and stuff like that. So there's the wage adjustment, which was the initial thing we started talking about. Now, this has been brought up. How does this fit into a wage? How does this fit into a wage adjustment?
Well, that's, I mean, here are the salaries for those different levels, and here are the requirements of those different levels. And again, you know, this is something that I went through and made up, and just trying to figure out, one, you want to kind of give them a ladder to build on. You want to give them a fair wage for the duties they perform. And the other thing I think what we're looking at here is getting those employees in a position where, you know, maybe someday they can go for an assistant superintendent position or, you know, something further. I mean, as it is now, all they have to look forward to is their cost of living increase. You know, there's a vote going by.
I know the feeling.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, we all do, but I... just trying to give them, you know, some...
Well, I mean...
some pathway for the future.
If I could get a wage adjustment in 1 year that will give me a significant thing right now, mm-hmm. I say, why do I wait 5 years to get to that point?
Yeah.
I mean, I could see if there's some incentive clause for someone, rewarding someone for extraordinary, you know, doing the job above and beyond and being...
Well, I think that's something different.
I know.
I didn't deal with that in here.
Yeah.
Those, and Chris and I talked about those, if you want to call them spot awards or, you know, merit awards, I think that's kind of outside the scope of this. You know, I think if somebody comes in and props up a water tank that's about to fall over and does it single-handedly, or, you know, some
Superman.
Exceptional piece of work, and you want to, and Chris wants to reward them, and we agree that there ought to be a mechanism for us to do that. But I think that discussion is kind of separate from this. You know, the guy comes to work, he does a good job, he's got all the training, he gets evaluated every year. You know, what's his progress? But the outstanding thing is separate.
All right, we'll leave that separate then. But I'll get back to the point where if we do a wage adjustment, which is even a couple people from the Prudential Committee agreed that was the most realistic. They didn't seem to have a problem with that at all. They thought that seemed more realistic of a term and a process to go through. Because I've had some pushback from a member of the Prudential about, you guys thinking of getting a 3% raise every year?
Well,
you know.
Well, I've just had some comments. Well, you know, you're asking to upgrade these people. Where's their evaluation? If you ever evaluate them, you know, is there anything written down?
Yeah.
And if we don't have them, you know, and I think that's part of it.
Well, yeah, I don't know if you have to be evaluated for a wage adjustment. Because you're doing the job that the same guy in Centerville is doing for $18,000 more, that Mashpee's doing for $18,000 more, that Falmouth's doing for $9,000 or $10,000 more, that Dennis is doing for $15,000 more, that Yarmouth's doing for $20,000 more. You're doing exactly the same job.
Well, they're not, that's the problem.
What's the difference in the job then?
Falmouth, take for example, Falmouth. An operator there, I think this is down there. He does one thing, he turns on and off spigots, you know, water services. He doesn't do any the other things.
Their description of a field operator is completely different than ours.
Yeah, it is. It is, and I...
So if he's getting almost $10,000, then our field operators, and all he's doing is turn on a spigot.
Yeah, but he's a bigger department. He's got a lot of authority that our guys don't have. You know, he goes about his job of turning on and off water supplies, not independent of the superintendent, but with a freer rein than our guys. So it's a little like comparing apples to oranges, but I mean, this is as good as we can. And
I just want, I mean, are you looking at the wage comparisons there?
Yeah.
Down the bottom on a few of these?
Yep.
Yeah.
Some of these guys have been there 20-something years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she's just using the average here of what they're paying out there. So there's the range for what they're paying, the lowest and the highest.
So this is not the base salary, what's in the shaded table? This is the average?
That's
mean?
The average, yeah.
That's the mean.
Okay.
So are these departments have steps then?
I don't know. Mashpee, Calm and Mashpee, as far as I know, are both union. Falmouth, I believe, is union. Hyannis is union, but it's not here.
I don't think Barnstable is union.
No, Barnstable's not union.
No, they seem to be.
Yeah,
and they're about the same size. As
I don't think. I don't know if Yarmouth is or not. I got a feeling they are because I think they're part of the DPW separate unit. And that's a different ballgame.
It's a very different ballgame structure. Through DPW and that, you know, their town employees.
Yeah.
District.
Yeah.
Onsets are district, I believe.
Onsets says they are union, I'm sorry.
Yeah, they are union, but they're a district.
Right. The union, it says, new superintendent, 2017, has no assistant super or senior operator. They have a working foreman. Also has a PT office clerk part-time.
All right, then. I mean,
our guys,
we're not union. I don't think we want to.
No.
That's why I like to see. I just like to see us come into reality with other departments without having to go through unionizing.
Our guys now, our two operators have what, 1 year experience? 1.5 years?
No. They are over 2 years, each of them. It's almost 3 on JR, I believe, maybe, and maybe 3 on both now, 3.5 and 3.
Okay.
I mean, the both of them are up there.
So they could actually go for a level 3 now.
And they're at 41.8.
Yeah, right now, the last one that you've got, yeah, was 41,000. How much was the last one?
Yeah, 41.8 for proposed appropriation,
yeah.
And I believe that's what happened.
Yeah, that's what happened.
They're paid last year versus
where would you say their category would be with what they're making at 41.8 here?
I think
so it would be a level 3.
Yeah. So that gets picked up to 51. Which doesn't put them in too bad of sneakers compared to the operators in the other towns. You know, without long seniority.
Yeah, having the means here doesn't. Kind of throws everything off.
It does.
Yeah, it does. That makes it not as clear. I was starting to scratch some numbers down, thinking those were what they came in at.
Yeah, you kind of have to look along the bottom there of the range.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these guys, they started out at 35. You know,
right. Barely a living wage would get done.
Do we have what they're making right now?
Yeah, 41.8.
41.8.
I believe that's what you had right there, what was done for the raise
and
everything.
Yes, before the 40, the 3% on top of that 45.80.
They ended up, both of them were making at the end 39 something. They got a little bit of over.
It was the overtime. Yeah.
41. A 40 last year, yeah. I mean, just looking at a couple of these things that you had on here, I was just looking at these levels that kind of, you had like 1 year's experience and must have a D1, D2, but we're telling them they need 2 years to get it, you know, because it's not possible in 1 year for them to get it.
What level was that?
That was level two.
Level two. So
it's not even possible. They can only take one class and one test a year, basically. The way it's been working out, they'd have to, you know, really just, they have to wait till the class goes up to before they can take it. Actually, with the P1, you can take it without a class. But we're giving them 2 years, so I think the 2 years would be sufficient.
So then that comes down to the second sentence, displays an acceptable or exceeds on first year's evaluation.
Yeah.
That would be second year's evaluation, right?
Yeah. You said must have a D1 and a T2. It's around the other way. It's a D2, T1 license.
Oh, down below. D2, T1.
Yeah.
Well, if they got kicked up to a level 3 right now, that would give them about a $9,000 raise.
Both of them.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But the both of them that just have a T1 right now and a D1.
But they're getting training, aren't they?
Well, they're getting training for a T2 right now.
Okay.
Because that's the class that came up available local.
Yeah.
So, exceeding what they need now to work in.
Yeah. So at some point in time, no matter what we do here, whether it's steps or just a straight out bounce, there comes a time when all that's going to happen after that is going to be cost of living.
Yes.
That's what happened to me. We went to our last step, and it was just, that's how it got, you know.
Right.
Some years we got no percent raise, some years we got a 1% raise, and we've never had, haven't had 3% raise in well over 10 years.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And that's, so we weren't even holding level ground. We were going down each year.
And that happened to me in the school district as well. As you hit your 15 years, and then until you hit 25, your cost of living, if you can get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last 4 years in the federal employment, we got no cost of living. Period.
No, anyway.
Yeah. So you do your loose ground. But
all right, I'm going to say something that I never thought I'd ever say. I would like to see a significant increase at one time to bring them up closer to other departments to be more competitive. And I have a figure in mind, I'm not going to say it quite yet. As far as I can also see, time periods, 5, 10, 15, 20 years of you're working here 5 years. I know the fire department has a what they call longevity check.
Right.
Okay. It's above and beyond their regular pay. It's like a once a year thing. and it doesn't, and it's cost of living, doesn't have anything to do with it, nothing. It's just, you've been here 5 years, you get $500 as a bonus. Been here 10 years, you get, I don't know, $700. Something. And I don't know if that makes sense to anyone.
I understand where you're going, but I almost see that being on the
it's another way to give them money.
Well, yeah, but kind of on the other side of the reward. You know, you did some special thing. You took some special action. You went above and beyond. You know, you've given us the last 5 years of good service, and it would be a bonus. You know,
I know people. But I know people that look forward to that.
Oh yeah.
I got 5 years coming up. I'm going to get myself a check now, a little extra each year.
Yeah.
That was something to look forward to, and it was almost 10 years now. I get a little bit more.
I think you can build that into the steps of, you know, once wherever we get them to some level we're comfortable with, that you still need an incentive thing, and that incentive thing, which is time, experience, and training, you know, and the responsibilities. So, yeah, you're saying, you know, you get a bonus for 5 or 10. 20 years or whatever, but it's based on something you can evaluate, which would be training, experience, performance. And I stayed purposely away from senior operator because, you know, we're kind of, we've danced around that now for a while. But, I mean, you can have some folks that stay around forever. But in terms of their performance, their training, you know, they get to a level and they just stagnate. They're happy there, but you may not be happy there.
I kind of see what you're saying. You got two guys right now that have been there for 3 years. One's 3.5, one's 3. Both of them probably within the same time frame going to have 5 years right around the same time.
Yeah.
Seeing one of them is not doing much of anything to require, you know, to go up, and the other guy is, but both of them are going to get checked for $500. There's no reward to the guy that's doing something and being the go-getter, whereas if the other one was sitting back, which I don't have. I'm just saying, making an example there. I understand what you're saying. You know, why should I get money when I'm sitting here working my butt off doing this and doing that, and the other guy's in the truck on his phone?
Well, the other thing is, if I want to get a raise, all I got to do is this, this, and this. I'm going to do that, that, and that, and that's all I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I was promotional exams got moved to people that can take really good tests. And they have no common sense and no field experience.
I agree.
So I look at this and I say, oh, okay, I got to do that test, that license, have that stuff and be here for this amount of years, have this training, and I get this raise. Okay, that's my goal. Watch out. Don't let me do anything else. I'm going to break my goal.
Chris's stick here, though, is the performance in prior years. And if we use an evaluation and you grade them every year, and you do this honestly, I mean, you sit down with the employee and you go through this honestly, if they haven't met or exceeded those evaluations, then they don't move on to the next step. You know, you have something to base it on, and they can't just say, well, I'm just going to wait. I'm here at year 4. I'm just going to wait till year 5 because I'll get that check. Because if their evaluation doesn't come up to par, and that, I mean, these evaluation criteria, you can, you know, go over and change them and you know, tear them up and add things or subtract things or whatever. But that next step is a combination of experience, licensing, and other requirements, and acceptable evaluations.
It'll always be a way to find some way to get around it, doing what do I need to do to get that next step, and I'll do that. Now, when I first was on the call department here in Cotuit, I did everything I could do to be a value for the department. I became a driver of all the apparatus long before anyone else could do it, in the shortest amount of time. I showed up to more calls. I did more stuff. I was there all the time. When a job came up, who got the job? Not the guy that could, this guy couldn't even drive anything. But he went to college, he has an associate's degree in fire science. He had all this stuff that gave him points on an evaluation form. Because this is what I need to do.
You can,
and
yeah, I mean, you can add other things in here that aren't tied directly to a college degree or
I'm just saying, you may get someone that's really good and doing the job really well, that is takes pride in all that stuff, and someone that I know I got to do this, and they're going to meet the requirements as long as they do the. You know,
I think yeah, I know, but I think if you use a system like this, honestly. I had a fellow that had a high school degree that I promoted to a GS-13 on.
Mm-hmm.
He was a technician, which is unheard of. He was the only one in USDA. And that was based on performance. You know, it we'd go through this every year, and it did outstanding every year. So I think, and you have to be able to defend these things, too, while you're given why you're given them. An outstanding performance. You know, why they more than meet the requirements. But I know you can bastardize any system.
Yeah.
I wouldn't pretend to say that, you know, we're going to build a perfect system or one that can't be.
It's hard to grade stuff. I mean, when we made an attempt to have evaluations where I worked. And it was in the form of a self-evaluation, a formal self-evaluation, where there's a number of areas, and we were to look at all those areas and evaluate ourselves and where we thought we did good, where we thought we needed to improve. These are the steps I think I need to do if I can improve these things. We're given a period of time to do that and then go back and review it with our captain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But it depends on someone being really looking in with themselves and being honest to themselves and their employer about... You know, I fall short in some of these areas.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know how to get around it, but I need help. So, you know, what do I got to do to get better at this stuff?
Yeah, and I agree with you. And, you know, it puts a lot more work on Chris's back, but it also puts a lot of work on the employees. And you ask them to show up for this evaluation. I mean, what you can do is ask them to show up with a list of their strengths, where they need improvement. I don't think they did in the last year, and then you can have a discussion about that.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I anything like this, if you choose to do it, if you implement it, you know, that's the way I suggest that you ask them to show up at that evaluation such and such a date with a written list of accomplishments, strengths,
mm-hmm.
weaknesses, areas of discussion. It has to be a dialogue. If it's just a
And it has to be based on some goals that they establish them for themselves during their initial goal setting period. You know, like if they get something like this year, they got to sit down and establish goals. Those goals have to be consistent with the district's goals, and they have to be skill based. They can be measured easily. And then they keep track of that stuff, and maybe it's a 1 year period or a 2 year period. It's usually 1 year with a check in, and then 2 years after that, or 3 years, and then you might move to the next step or the next level, whatever you want to call it. Right? And if you meet the goals and you put the time in, so it's you've got the longevity plus the goals, then you get the raise, then you get the bump. If you don't, then you're not getting fired. To the first step again, and you set your goals, and you try to make that work for you. I mean, I think it's got to be both a longevity thing, a time in,
mm-hmm.
so they have some skin in the game. It's like I'm not going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
I see that at the end of the tunnel. Plus performance, and that's what we're doing at the schools right now. In the public school, in the public sector, you know, you've got to set goals. They've got to be approved by your supervisor, which would be you. And that's, like Don said, that's going to put a lot on you.
Right.
Because But, because you're going to say, these are the goals. I want a clean working environment. You know, I want all my employees here in a timely fashion. I want dependable people that will, are willing to work overtime or their weekend shifts or what or not. I want, you know, the trucks kept up. I want the pumps maintained. I want to know when there are leaks, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So they're very specific. And then they just keep track of that stuff. They can say.
Complaints from the homeowners.
Right, right. No,
equipment left on the streets. And,
right.
Know, yeah.
And then they meet that, and they meet a couple of years of time, and then they get a bump to a different level.
Let's review what you what I've got here. Let's see what you've done. Let me tell you what you show me what you've done, and I'll show you what I've seen.
They show
Let's
you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
And like you, I mean, there's going to be certain things that they're not going to learn except through longevity.
Yeah,
I mean,
we'll learn, yeah.
Yeah, we're a unique system. You know, they're not going to understand half of these pumps, how to run them, what to do to them, how to tweak them, unless they have a class on them, or which only gets really put in when you have somebody that knows about them comes down.
Right.
You don't know how long that they're going to be willing to do that. But I mean, there's certain things that. This pump's there that, you know, right now I'm kind of screwed because Brian's the only one who knows how to fix.
Yeah.
You know, if something goes down, Brian's the one that can fix it, you know. And the other day he had one of the guys, one guy took the afternoon off to go do something, so I set the other guy down and they rebuilt one of the pumps and he showed him how to do it. He was going through, which is pretty big stuff for Brian.
Yeah, you've got new stuff coming along, you've got some security systems coming along,
right.
You've got the chemical feed stuff coming along, there's new stuff to learn, and I think it's always going to be that way. You're going to have new responsibilities for it.
Right, and I don't know, like you say here, you got the steps, the requirements, things that are going on. This whole thing over here with just figures.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to just put a, you know, at a step one, you hide it this much. A step two, you get this much of an increase. If you step, you know, I think if you go to this, then you might, the guy that just got 3% or 2.5% for cost of living, then you bump him up, and I don't know how you want to do it that way. Whether you want to keep it that way, that keeps the longevity there too. I don't know.
Yeah, the cost of living is, you know, I'd apply that. Whatever number we come up here, if you go with a step thing, just apply that when we get approval to do it to whatever those steps are. And those steps will move up 1% or, you know, 5% or whatever Prudential Committee approves. But it's not independent of this, but this is, you've got five steps and those steps. And I think that's true in the fire department, isn't it? Their steps. If they move up a step, they still get the cost of living.
All right. Well, we have a negotiated raise every, you know.
Yeah.
We have a 3-year contract, and it was 2%, 2%, 2.5% this last contract. The one before was 1%, 1.5%, 1.5%. That was the cost of living.
Yeah.
That was what we got.
Oh,
now,
get it. Cost of living.
No. And me being, and the steps were in the first 5 years, no matter what. There were five steps for the first 5 years of employment. So being there 15 years, all I got was this last year was a 2% raise. Period. No step, just a raise. That 2%. So
it only lasted over 5 years.
Yeah.
And then you were done.
Yeah. Those jumps
so you
were done.
So you had to change positions. You had to go from.
Well, then people go for, you know, they get promoted to lieutenant, they go to the office job as inspector. Those, all those jobs are different, like an operator and a senior operator is a different job.
But, and here we don't, you know, I mean, you can start to call some of these things senior operators or other things rather than steps. But it's really semantics, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
You know. Well, in my happy world, I like to have everyone, superintendent, senior operator, and the two operators, cross-trained in everything. So that everyone knows everyone's job. So of the senior operator, he says, well, I'm getting tired, I'm done with this now. They have an idea what's going on.
Yeah.
If you're up in Maine and something happens, there's a call form.
Trust that guy, like, yeah, judge.
He has to not be making stuff up. He has to have, at least I know where to go to find the protocol for this, or, you know, the step-by-step procedure.
Yep.
So the cross-training is what I would like to see. I'm not resistant. I don't know how this is. I'm looking for a clean, something as clean as possible. And to me, a clean thing is given an adjustment, a substantial adjustment. We vote on a cost of living increase every year. And if we wanted to have it, and again, the only thing I can come up with for me was just like skin in the game and time on the job. Because when you start putting more time in here, you start looking at things, well, in 15 years I want to retire. And this extra X amount of dollars goes in my retirement. And that helps. Mm.
These guys don't have any kind of retirement.
No, they do.
They're part of the Prosper retirement system, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We kick in with
them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So was it 9% of their pay goes into that?
Something a lot more than mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You started a long time ago. I was 9% up to a certain amount of money, then it went to 11%.
Then it went to 11%.
Yeah. So, and plus they have health insurance. That stuff goes up like, wow.
Yeah. And it's
so right now they're making a little over
$800. Getting worse and worse up there now too. Though
they're making a little over $800 a week, and that 800, 10% of that is going towards
retirement.
A chunk is going towards insurance, you know, health insurance and all that stuff. Then they got taxes, state tax. They got state tax. Yep. Did they Social Security too?
Only FICA. I mean, only the FICA, the small one. Medicare.
Okay,
Medicare.
Because of the retirement system. Yeah.
But the thing is, if they choose to take medical, they can be on it until they're 25. I think they both now have to take it. One of them doesn't. I think he's going to have to because he's turning 25. Because he could stay on his mother's till.
Sure. So I've never, ever took it from my job because I got it from Kathy.
Yeah. And I.
And they never said thank you.
The last 2 years ago, I declined it and went on to my wife's.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that $800 isn't what it used to be.
Right.
That
becomes $500 real quick, just with what you meant.
Yeah. And now you talk about a mortgage, you talk about gas, you talk about food, you talk about
insurance.
Yeah, and everything, you know, taxes, and the house, and oh my God.
Yeah, I don't know how long ago you bought a house, but...
Yeah. Well, 25 years ago, 20 years ago.
Yeah, and think how much you're paying now, how much they must be paying if they just buy a house.
Yeah. I pay this much right here.
That's your salary, can't be buying a house, that's true.
Right.
Yeah. But...
Not alone.
Yeah. It
takes two people.
Yeah.
If you gave them a $9,000 or $10,000 jump... Right now, that would put them kind of in a mean with other operators.
I wish these weren't means and that we could see what the second year, third year guys were making, but because it's got to be above this base here.
Yeah.
And I go back to Barnsville. I mean, Barnsville guys starting out at 35K.
Yeah, I can't remember what the explanation for that is, but there's a reason that started real low.
But if you're at a level one and you have no experience with municipal supplies, you're at an entry level.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's suitable. And then
that's like Onset. You know, they had a brand new guy, I guess it was last year when we did this.
Yeah.
That came in out of high school, no experience, no, you know, special attributes, and there's a starting level.
You got the job.
Yeah, it's the job.
And then it's up to he or she to make it work and to get the acceptable performance evaluations.
Our two guys have made it work, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Can we reimburse them fairly for what they do?
Right.
And then I still believe you know, that shouldn't be a dead end. You should give them something to strive for, a career ladder. You know, I've been here 10 years and I've got this experience and I get all these evaluations for outstanding. How does that reflect on my pay? And I think it should. And I mean, evaluations, if we're not going to reward the employees, don't do them. Unless, you know.
I think evaluations should be still part of a job.
Yeah. I've never done it. I've always done, I've been asked, how the guys doing this year?
Oh, yeah.
I kind of give reports every month, on what's happening. If something's done well or something happens, I let you guys know. If I have to write somebody up, I let you know. I always try to CC everybody in on anything like that. There are certain things there that I think should be used against them, too,
Oh, yeah.
If every time I turn around and the same guy's on the phone instead of listening to me while I'm trying to talk to him, staring at his phone like a teenager, I think that ought to be some kind of consideration about that.
Yeah, I take their phone away.
You can, because they are teenagers.
Put that up at the end of the day.
It's things that's going to have to change in my description also.
So in the past,
or I'm going to have to start following my description a little better.
Yeah.
I mean, this says I will do evaluations every year on them.
Yeah.
Maybe this is something that I got to write on my calendar. This date, I'm doing evaluations this week.
If you're going to do that, you got something that you've been doing is going to change.
Right.
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 You can't make time.
Right. It's things that I can't go in like gung ho either. I got to be in. These are the things that you got to work on. We're not doing anything right now, but this is what I see. This is what's happening. This is what I want you to work on for the year. This can establish what's going on. Or I'll see you in 6 months. Something to that effect.
So is there any way that these levels can be used in the by the employees as learning step goals? I just asked Chris if I thought that there's any way that these levels can be used as learning step goals. I start off and I might start at the bottom, and these are the things that in my initial stage that I should be, trying to accomplish. That would be my goal for this level in the job.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like this first one is an entry level, right?
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
And then you've got a junior operator. And then an operator one, which is where these guys are at now, which is level three. Mm-hmm. And then you could do operator two, and then by the time you get to your level five, you're at senior operator level.
Basically.
This is probably what Brian
said. That would be the goal. So if a senior operator would have to accomplish all this to be qualified to be a senior operator, if that position comes open. Or can we have more people that are senior operators just
right
by their experience?
Our senior operator is above the salary range,
yes,
and
yes.
He has more requirements than the steps, so we'd have to rewrite that.
So we'd have to rewrite that, and he's not that much above it, right? He's
he's
at 67, so he's at 5 grand.
Plus 3%.
He's 67, yeah. He was 65 plus 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he's 67 right now. I mean, it's going to take him 7 years to get here, and that position is going to go up from the 67 to over 7 years.
Sure.
Someone to get to the, this level five, it would take him 7 years to get to. This stuff all can be done within the years that are here, except for, like I said, the first level two. But you might be able to do that if you came in and scheduled a test before you first started.
Yeah.
You know, something like you had some experience on a class on it or something in the background or anything like that. Or if you came from another department with them already.
Yeah.
You
know?
I think these levels have value.
Yeah.
They really do. I just don't know, from my perspective, that the value has to be tied into the money.
Question here, and it's just, I don't know if I'm playing the devil's advocate here.
Oh, please don't.
It says it must have displayed at least 3 years of outstanding performance in the last 5 years with a Kituat Water Department or equivalent performance to get this position.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What happens if the next 3 years they don't?
Well, I mean, you can, if they're great.
And maintain? I don't know.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, you can and maintain a high level of performance. You can get working here.
I mean, I'm just thinking like, "Whew, I made it! Now I can just stop doing it. Now I can just coast."
No,
as you were saying.
Yeah, but it, I think we at that level, there should be something that has to do with as we need to maintain the excellence of this department. We need to maintain. Be vigilant about our doing this level of job at this level, with knowing that things are going to change too. There's new rules and regulations coming down. There's the job's going to be changing a lot, isn't it? Don't you perceive that?
Yeah.
It's going to require.
We're going to have
a lot more requirements based on.
Yeah. These guys all this whole must have to get here. This is going to be a T2. Because within, you know, we're going to have to put treatment in within the next 10 to 12 years. We're going to have to go through, we're going to have to put a sand treatment, we're going to get rid of all manganese and iron.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to turn us right up to a T2 system if what we're putting in now doesn't. They're doing the formulas now and adding in each tap and everything. They've got to do it's an equation and everything else, and they're working it out to find out if it is. If it's a T2, I got to go back to school, and I got to pay the $827. I'm going to have to sit down here with this 12-week class so I can go take the test.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time since I sat down at school and took a test.
It'll be fine.
It only hurts for a little while.
And these guys are coming back, and they said, "Hey, I'm having trouble with this. Can you help me with it?" And they started reading it, and I said, No, I can't. I have no idea what you're even talking about. And that's the problem, is that we don't do a lot of treatment.
Yeah.
And they're taking a treatment test right now, and half of the stuff's on dosages and different, what kind of would you use for this certain thing? And unless you work with it every day, you wouldn't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that's just not there.
Yeah. But they're taking a class on it.
Yeah. That's what they're taking the mandatory class right now.
Well, back to that whole, your question, Chris, have displayed at least 3 years outstanding performance in the last five and up above there under the level three. It's the last two out of three. Why don't we just get rid of the in the last five or the last three? You know what I'm saying? So must have displayed at least 3 years outstanding performance with the Kituat Water Department or equivalent performance in a similar position. I don't know why did you put in the last five, Vic, or last three to give yourself some wiggle room for people that fall ill or something, or no, because that happens too.
Well, three outstanding performance in the last 5 years. So 2 years, you know, they could have just had
average
performance, and three is really outstanding. I mean, you can ask him for five out of five, but it depends what you're evaluating them on, too. You know, if they have a bad year, they went in for a stomach operation.
Right, they could have had some extenuating circumstances.
It's hard, in my mind, it's hard for somebody to exceed for 5 years.
Every year.
Not that it can't be done. But I, the top part of that, where I think, you know, the experience,
yep.
at least some of those years must be with the Cthulhu Water Department. And whether that's two or three or four, I don't know. You know, I, and Chris, you'd have a better feel for that. How long does it take you to learn the ins and outs of the system? You know, how much experience do you need? Is two enough?
No. Okay. No, I mean, it, you know, it doesn't call for the same thing. In 2 years, you know, you're working.
Yeah.
If we get into the maintenance part, sometimes we don't do a maintenance every year on something until something gets just right. We try to do preventive maintenance. I'm trying to schedule some other stuff right now, and it's just, which would hold back. But there's certain things that the guys just don't, aren't able to do, you know, they don't know. You know, like I could still say to them, hey, go get me a, an adapter for a 3/4 inch, you know, copper adapter back in the shop. And they'll look at me and go,
where's
got a picture of that?
Yeah, yeah, I got a picture of it. When you get there, when you get to the adapters, take a picture and I'll tell you which one. You know, or, you know, do this, do that. Yeah. You know, there's just certain things that they won't know unless they use, and not every situation comes up. It's hot, it's hot, you know, it's. There's still certain things about today that I go out and I look at and go, what? What the heck is that?
So that, I mean, if you change, if you up that for experience with Cthulhu Water Department, you up it from 2 to 5 or whatever it is that you think is more appropriate given the knowledge level of a senior operator or a level 5 operator, that then encourages them to stay in the Cthulhu Water Department.
Yeah.
And that gets
yeah.
to the longevity thing as well. Like the longer you stay, the more you learn, the better you are at it, and so you're going
to
be
right.
rewarded.
I mean, to learn the system well, I'm going to say you need almost 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, of stop and go. And things change, too. You might have to relearn as you're going, but I think to be able to say, okay, I can go in there and know what's going on, tweak this, tweak that, know exactly what's going on. 5 years is a good. If you don't know by 5 years, you're not gone.
Yeah.
You're just not getting it.
And so for level 4 and level 5, you'd have minimum of 5 years experience with municipal water systems. For level 5, it's got to be with Cthulhu Water.
Yeah, five.
So that you
five
know the
intimacy yeah.
of this water system.
And you must have 2 additional years with other systems.
Yeah, which could be this one or something. And for level 3, you know, that's where they're at now. So that makes sense because that's kind of what their licenses are, right? Except for the
and we can change
D2.
It as times happen, but yeah, I mean I think if we keep it the D2 T1 now because that is right now the D2 T1. We're meeting my Mass DEP requirements for staff.
Okay.
For
with that
D2 T1. Or
D1, T2. D2,
T1. And they're going for the T2 now, right? Both of them.
Yeah, they're just, the opportunity came up close to home for them to
yeah.
do it. And I think they want to take it if they could.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they are, they're exceeding there
yeah,
at that
yeah.
point. And they're taking this, saying, you know what, I want to get better at what we're doing.
And if you were doing an evaluation for him,
I would say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you took the initiative there instead of the only class that was available for the D1 is, you know, coming someplace up in Holliston, then it's from 12 o'clock in the afternoon until 4 o'clock at night on a Wednesday for 5 days. I mean, for 12 weeks.
Yeah.
More systems in here, Chris. I think we can change the, you know, like, I don't know what's going to be involved. Security system.
Yeah.
But there's definitely going to be some training involved with that, I guess.
Yeah.
And
Well, on the treatment system.
Yeah, the treatment system.
Yeah, because that we monitor
chemical fees. We've got must meet for level four, must meet for level five, all the requirements as well as the following as well. Should we change that to exceed? And that's the step. That's once you've exceeded the level three requirements, now you're eligible for a level four?
No, I don't think we have to put exceed. Okay. I think in the when I do the evaluation, I can put it as, you know, some kind of, if there's something there that would be exceeding, I can put the, you know, the 1-3 requirement as a 3 or something like that, mm-hmm. which would help them with their excellence on,
right.
instead of, you know, over and above.
Senior old fart position here, you know, beyond a level five, or are we good? I mean, is that senior position good?
I think that's when you level somebody out for the time being, yeah, and let it go from there.
Okay, so let's come to a consensus on three different things here. What we're going to do with money, incorporating the levels into the system, and also an evaluation. Does that kind of cover all three things?
Yeah, for the operator system.
Yeah. Because we've been here an hour and a half now.
Yeah.
And it's been a lot of fun.
And I think we're making some good progress.
I do too, because I think.
I do too.
Yeah. To sell something, I mean, we may be able to understand tying in money with all this stuff, but it may be a hard sell to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be the public, it could be Prudential, it could be the treasurer, it could be
Correct.
All kinds of people. And again, I am just one vote here. That's all I am. I think if we can make a substantial increase in the pay to show that we're trying to bring them closer to similar departments, you know, and $10,000 is a 20% increase. Not many people get a 20% increase nowadays.
No.
Yeah. No.
Nobody does.
But we could justify it.
I think we could justify it easily.
Yeah, and we can also show how, you know, levels of improvement that they show need to show over a period of time that's going to justify them getting that. And we can also show that we're going to still be evaluated.
And if they don't make it on the evaluation, they don't move up a level. Step, whatever you want to call it, position.
Because ultimately, everyone wants to go to that next step. The senior operator is the goal.
Right.
The two guys right now. And if there was an assistant position, that would be a goal.
Yeah.
So if they're the kind of people that I think they are, they're going to want to improve themselves to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And someone else will come in and take their position, and they're going to fight them for their job. Who brought the candy in?
I did.
I wish you didn't.
I had to get it out of my house.
I turned the lights off in my house.
You turned the lights off?
No one comes to my house.
Oh. I don't come to my house.
No.
Might be the deer hanging in the front. Yeah. No, I don't have a deer hanging.
When I first moved in, I went through 12 bags of candy.
I mean, how many for the kids, though?
When I first moved in, I called up the neighbor and said, they go, we get a ton of kids. Get at least 10 bags. So I went and got a dozen bags. I went through a dozen bags. It was incredible. I had children. We still, 1 year, went down. It was like 10. Went like that for 5 years. As the kids started to get older, people started moving away.
Mm.
And the last night, my wife bought 4 bags of candy, and we went through one. Not even. I think we had maybe 12 to 13 kids.
Well,
And the last year, we probably had maybe 20. Every year, it's getting lower and lower and lower. And I said, I don't know,
up,
man. The younger people are moving out, or the kids are moving out, and they're keeping the houses.
And the younger people can't afford to buy a house and raise a family, which is why we're doing this.
So,
right.
Chris, based on our discussions, and what is your gut feeling?
I think you're right. I think that a modest increase into the pay to get these people where they are is what we got to do.
Yeah, I think that's the minimum, yeah.
I like the steps or the requirements. Really ought to be a requirement anyways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's see if we can keep this going to keep, and maybe it's used
well,
off.
Sometimes
of,
if you have a whole page of all the requirements, it becomes overwhelming, right? So let me work on this one first.
Right.
Yeah.
And talking about rewards. Reward doesn't have to be monetary every time. I mean, if I like what somebody's doing, I might say, hey, give you an extra couple days vacation.
Sure.
A couple days off here, to put on. I'm going to throw it down on here. You get a year to use it up, basically.
Mm-hmm.
It's on there, but you've done a great job. Basically, here's a couple days for you.
Do they have any personal time?
Three days personal.
Okay. And they can use that by the hour or use it by the day? Or
hour. We get hourly. We get 24 hours personal.
Like I said, Chris and I talked about that. I stayed out of it here because I view that as something different. And then I don't know what your authority is, Chris. If you want to give somebody a $100 bonus or,
And that could be
something
that has to do with this here. If you guys do something like say, we're going to carry an extra so many $1,000s in our stuff underneath overtime, I'm going to put this much in, or overtime bonus, something like that, and put this here. If you reach some of this stuff and it's acceptable, maybe you'll get an extra $300 this year. You'll get an extra so many $100 this year around Christmas time or something. Like you were saying with the longevity or something. It's kind of the same thing. It's so many years here as you're going.
Kind of unheard of in government work.
Yeah. We have the authority to do spot awards.
Did you?
What I know about spot awards is they're most effective if they're done
at the time.
It's kind of... And
when somebody does something well.
But it's kind of like a dog. You reward them for good behavior on the spot, it sinks in. They associate it. But if you wait a month or two, it's like, thanks for the money, but there's
good
no
job.
Association. Yeah, there you go. You get another word coming in like that. But, my mind might be screwed up on that. But
no, I understand.
No, I think that definitely makes sense.
But, you come to the end of the year, and they do an outstanding evaluation, and they have done that for the last 3 years, and they get moved up. What? Well, and I'm not saying this table's golden, but they get moved up, $5,000 or $6,000. That's not bad.
What's more important to them? Because I know in my place, at some point in time, time off gets more important.
These guys go the end of the year and have days. They really, they're workers.
Yeah.
I got one guy, he's probably got 36 days and he's been there 3 years, and you get a day in a quarter. He hardly ever sick, and he's always going, and he's probably got, he's got the 2 months to use up 6.5 days vacation. So it's just, and he hasn't taken any personal thing, got 24 hours there too. So it's, I don't think so much the time is as valuable as money.
Yeah.
Whereas if I went to Brian, and
he'd want the money.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
No, he's all about the money. Yeah.
the dust, and this is going to stop, not to kill time here, but the dust award system I ever heard of. It was sitting down at the head of the Irish Quarantine Service, and we were talking one night just over the years, and he said, you know, how many officers do you have in the country? And they had none of them. It was very few. I said, man, how do you cover all the police and everything like that? He said, well, the longshoremen do a lot of work for us. And I said, do you pay the longshoremen to do that? He said, well, not really. He said, once a year, we have a big award ceremony, and we give out awards to longshoremen. I said, what do you give me? He said, well, maybe a case of Irish whiskey or, you know. And they did this all in the boundaries of what the government allowed, which is, you know, we give them five cases of beer.
Yeah, that was the Irish go.
I don't think lawyers would like that.
No, but I mean, if we budgeted for a
tour model,
and Chris had the authority to say, here you go, we'll give you a $50 award or a $100 award or whatever.
Well, it can't be a gift.
No.
Because there's a limit of $50 according to ethics.
Right.
Yeah. Or a gift.
Right.
It has to be a bonus.
For work over and above.
Yeah. They have to be worked out that way.
In the bonus.
Tied to their
value. Taxes on it and everything else, but it's still.
And it'd have to be on my discretion also.
Right.
Because as I said, as I was saying to Vic the other day, I said, you know, I come to you, like I said, you know, I got a phone call the other day that said these guys did a great job and everything else. I don't want them going to, hey, if you think I did a good job, call the water department and tell them.
Yeah.
Either, you know, or something. You know, I mean, there's that could happen, too. I could see it backfiring at times.
Now, when someone does that, does that copy that letter go in the personnel file?
There's no letter. There was a phone call, so I asked for a note to be put in from me, basically. I make a note of
it. So there's some record in the personnel file, and they get a copy of that.
Yeah. It's in there.
Yeah.
I know some in the past never made it in. Because I got a couple that never made it in. They're not in my personnel file.
Well, it's always nice to see. We get cards, and it's just it's nice.
Yeah.
The public really appreciates the job that's done, and they express it. So.
Yeah, you know, we've gotten letters from different people on, you know, going down when they needed help right away and gone over and above. Cards in the mail, like you say, and stuff like that. Which, you know, even Jen. I mean, Jen has certain things where she helps people out, you know, getting numbers, getting somebody over there, making sure. I mean, she's part of the whole process, too.
Oh, yeah.
So
we need to get something accomplished here tonight.
Yeah, I think we have. I made some notes, and you guys made some notes, and we can put those together, and I think kind of get the final draft of this, and we can take a look at it again. My question still is, though, around these, for the different steps, levels, whatever you want to call them. Are we in the ballpark here with these salaries? Do we need to adjust those up or down? Or
I don't think you I think that's a good range for someone that's been in the department. Right now, for over 3 years, you're talking pretty close, right there. They should be, I would think. You know that has reached a percentage. And as I've had in the past, I've had people. This is where I run into problems. I've had one guy come in and work for me for 5 years. He has his licenses that he needs. And he's been working. One guy leaves, another guy comes in. He's there for a year and a half, 2 years, not even. And the other guy's been there now 6. And he says, I want to make what he's making right now. I said, why is that? Because I have the same license, I do the same job, I drive the same truck. I can do his job. I said, well, he's been here, you know, 5 years longer than you. I don't care. I can do his job.
Now you're city.
All right, I can tell you exactly what I tell people because of them.
Yep.
When people get hired where I work, they're required to do the same job as someone that's been there 20 years, the same paramedic qualification, firefighter one or two certification, and they get 20% less pay. You agreed to this when you came here.
Right.
You knew what the step was.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
And you know in a year from now you're going to get a bump. And then I'll come closer and closer. You're digging the same hole, but you ain't going to get the same money until you get to that point.
So you've been there.
As rewards for longevity.
Right.
When you look at the ranges of the surrounding districts and onsets included, I mean, it seems like we're right there. There's three that are lower than our level one for their lowest levels. You know, there's one that's above our level five for their highest levels, but McBrien's probably coming close to that 69 now. And that's an entry level senior operator or level five, whatever you want to call it, at 62. To me, when I look at these, and I'm a new guy here, obviously, and I'm not familiar with water departments by any means, but looking at this range, they look compatible.
Yeah, I mean, this is we're talking about a pay scale, regardless of where it's going to. And I know one thing we agree on. They're getting paid far less for doing the same job that other people are doing, and that if we want to be competitive and keep good employees, we need to be competitive.
Problem also is if we have this written down here, this is fine for today. In 3 years, it's not going
to
be fine.
Well, it'll have to be adjusted every year.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's why I'm almost leaning towards, you know, if you just give them the bump now and get them where they should be, then let time take its point on something here. You know, like right now, you're at a three or whatever, you know, let's go from there. This is where you should be. This is what you should be making. So we're going to put you there. And if you want to get more down the line, you have to wait so many years. Because it says right here, you have to have five more, so many years.
Yeah. Time and experience.
Yeah.
And with the experience comes the performance.
Yeah. Right.
So it's a three-pronged thing.
I think.
Do we want to have a stipend then?
A stipend.
All right. Level three is going to give us what the bump is. All right. That's their base pay. But say we have a figure of $1,000. Stipend if they meet all the level four requirements beyond that base pay.
I wouldn't go there. I'd go because right now, I think you know, we've got to sell this to the potential. They're going to want us to sell it. And one thing that at least two of them asked me, well, you have the valuations to show us that these employees over the last couple of years, how have they done? Because I've heard on this, we're paying.
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't have any evaluations. So I've tried, I think we need flip charts and slides and everything to sell this to the Prudential Committee, and I think we can do it. But I think what we ought to say is, okay, here we are with two guys, and this is what the experience is, this is what the training is, and this is kind of the level that we're putting them at. Now, Chris is going to... He has done an evaluation for this year,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't count the last 2 years, but this is where our starting point is. And go from there. Give them that bump. The end of the year, we're going to go in for some cost of living, whatever that is. And
that's
that's the best
help.
And I think as part of that presentation to them, we're going to have to say, these aren't fixed in time. These are subject to cost of living increases. I'm a little afraid of how some of them are going to react on the potential committee. I think Stan's going to be with us.
Oh.
He understands the stuff. But I'm not sure that we've got buy-in yet from the other two.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say, well, we want to do is get the junior operators to a level where they should be in terms of salaries, and then lay out a plan for them, how we're going to progress, how we're going to evaluate it, and, you know, where we go from here.
So we're talking about a two-step increase here. One step is the initial bump to bring them up to a comparable level, because they are at that level now in the training.
Yeah.
And then they, looking at increases for additional levels as time goes on.
Agreed. And then every year, regardless of what this one's like, mm-hmm. if we think that there's cost of living increase yeah. necessary.
If we can justify it, and we get that. There's governmental charge yeah. to have that stuff.
Yeah. But
Social Security gives cost of living, retirement gives cost of living.
Right.
You know, there's stuff that you can be based on instead of, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Like last year, the retirement board gave 3%.
Yeah.
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 But I think, you know, we want to be real sure of where we are with this. When we take it to the Prudential.
Okay.
And, you know, their dimension's going to be, when, you know, we've got a budget for this different every year, but we can project where these guys are going to be every year.
Right.
So we can
I'm the one who throws much more.
But when we submit our budget,
yeah.
it will reflect.
Yeah.
yeah. That's, you know, that's our problem, not
yeah.
their problem.
No, I know. But I would. They're going to have to swallow.
Yeah.
Mm. yeah. I think we can make a case for it.
Yeah.
I think you've done yeoman's work. I think it's a great job. And, you know, I think we could at least move forward on the operator's job descriptions.
Yeah.
And say we've got
yeah.
that nailed down. You know. Couple of things with regard to, I think, the policy-related questions have to go through Chris
yeah,
before
yeah.
the water district office.
I'm going to include the handbooklet as a requirement.
And then you get something on the end about the the distance thing, when on-call must be able to respond to an emergency
how that can be
site and satisfy district needs within 30 minutes of notification.
Yeah.
Like that, right? And then that's done. And I love your level 1 through 5 requirements.
I think we really we all agree that they're at level 3 right now.
And the kids they're at level
okay.
3 now.
So if I give them a bump of $10,000, that's going to be your initial bump.
You go 52.
Yeah.
So 51.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at right here, the average, these are averages, right?
Yeah.
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 We got 58, 58, 49, 55, 60, 50, and 44 for onset.
So that's a 24% raise.
Yeah. Pretty substantial. We'll have some of these other districts looking for jobs.
They'll be like,
all
right, but it's affecting how many people?
Yeah.
So it's $20,000 a year. Of what? How big is our budget this year? 1 point.
I'd have to look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Six.
Well, for the operational budget and the salary was 600.
Yeah. It's only it's increasing it.
I
would say 10,000. It's only $20,000.
Yeah.
And I'm not second guessing that.
No.
I think that's fine.
Yeah.
I think they deserve
yeah.
it. I think they do that job. That's worth that much.
Absolutely.
By far. So
if we think we
can sell it or
yeah.
we want to try to sell it.
But I think the argument is instead of people saying, well, that's outrageous, it's been outrageous, they've been underpaid for all these years.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think the one
really
we might run the
exactly.
static is, well, we want to push this back until the rate starts. And I think we can argue against that pretty strongly. This
actually needs to be part of the rate study.
Well, it has to be in advance of the rate study
yeah.
It has to be factored in.
Yeah.
That rate study is going to be realistic.
Yeah. So, I have a consensus. We like the
job description. We like the levels. We have our agreement of a 24% bump, basically a $10,000 bump. And having steps 4 and 5, future goals. And we're going to come up with an evaluation, whether it's in a form like this or whether it's a form for self-evaluation or something that...
Well, I think you need a form for self-evaluation.
Yeah, you this do. You do need that. Yeah.
This is the one that they sit down with Chris and they go through, you know, what they think of themselves, what he thinks of them, and then we're...
Yeah, I'm going to have to go through with the evaluation sheet there, looking at that.
Boy, Jen has a lot of minutes to write.
Nice job, Jen.
Notice we haven't given you a raise.
Yeah, it's a lot of it's just on, you know, the description is there.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Knowledge, execution, relationship with others. Like I said, if we write in, you know, follows handbook, employee handbook and stuff like that, that'll be in there too.
Yeah.
Which,
well, if you guys want to add anything in here, you know, make some notes on it, let me know. We can the work evaluation and relationships. Or, you know, if you want a whole different category in there, we can add that too.
When you were going through this, did you do any searches online to see if there were any online evaluation tools for public employees?
No, I did not. I kind of went from my old experience, you know, and that was the way I was trained. You go through the job description, you kind of pick out the key points, and then that's what you get evaluated on. But we could do that, go online and see what it is for public employees. We tried to get some of the evaluations for... the other water districts, and that never came on.
Yeah.
They were real reluctant to send
it. Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how many of them have it to begin with.
Right.
You probably have a better
handle. Most of them don't have even job descriptions. Everybody talks about writing and nothing ever happens.
Yeah.
I have access to some people that work in human resources, see if they have some samples of evaluations.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Generic stuff that we can be, you know, molded to our needs.
Yeah. So just that,
yeah.
I think what you want to do in the evaluation is keep it, you know, the key points. You don't want to get down into the weeds too much because those things, you know, you can beat yourself up and they can beat themselves up over it. But anyway.
So do we think that this particular position is going to be much more time consuming than the other ones coming up?
Well, the other one's coming up. I think getting through this first one and getting the direction that we want to go with the hardest. And I think the other two will be pretty easy.
Do we want to make a time for another meeting to move forward? Or?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
We already have a meeting. A regular meeting is set for... It's the 15th, isn't it?
The
15th is our next is our regular meeting. That could be wrong.
So I don't even have it.
November 15th.
Yeah.
November 15th.
Yeah, it's a Wednesday, the third Wednesday of the month. Who said this was a once a month meeting?
What?
Good job. So my schedule now is a whole lot freer than it used to be. Any ideas?
Probably not next week, right?
That won't be easy.
So after the 15th meeting? Thanksgiving on the 23rd.
Yeah, it's not good.
Week after Valentine.
Do we want to, what time do you get out of work?
I could be anywhere, any day, or I could be in Katoa any day by 3.
Okay.
I push it.
So I didn't know if we wanted to try meeting early on the 15th, because we're going to be here anyways.
Mm-hmm.
If we think we can come here, say at 5 o'clock, and if it's much, we've already set an idea of how we want to do some of the stuff, and you think that gives us enough time to work that out, or...
And the goal would be to get this one done?
No, we're going on the other two. We're pretty much, we can get some more stuff on the evaluation.
Yeah.
And we can go over the superintendent, and we have, and the office manager.
Okay.
If it's at all possible to do in that time frame.
Yeah. Now, the senior operator
is not in there yet.
Go to, well, if we call level 5 senior operator, then it is in there.
There would be. You change the title, instead of a level, make them all have a title.
And then you might have to change
some of the plans.
Some of the steps, you might have to add steps.
Yeah.
Some steps.
What do you think?
Don't do it.
Let me get a kink in my neck.
Okay.
That gave you a kink? Forget that. Scratch that, Jen.
So is everyone
went
okay with meeting
like
at 5
shirt.
O'clock on the 15th?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
We're going to 5 o'clock on the 15th, and then?
Yeah.
How about you?
It can be earlier than that if you want. I mean, if you guys want to do something at 4, just to give yourself plenty of time.
I'm good. Like I say, I'm free.
You got all the time in the world now. But you guys are paying me anyways to be here during the day. We have a certain point. So just for me to get out of there a little early and come here and just start.
Well, if we go for 4 days, you've got to bring coffee.
I might have a meeting on that Wednesday. I don't know when my superintendent has these meetings. I got to go to one or she gets pissed at me. And I don't know if it's a Wednesday her meeting is. So it's probably going to be.
I don't know if it has to be handicapped accessible, if we have to meet here, but we can always meet in the back office, in the back room, if we want to discuss. Well, no, it'd have to be here, just in case somebody wants to attend.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean,
and we got a recording system.
Anytime during the work day, if you have a day that you know that's coming up that's off for anything, I don't know. Where we might be working. We can meet anytime now. You guys are pretty much open during the day unless you're away.
Yeah.
I know. And especially if it's raining, you'll be available.
5 o'clock on the 15th?
Yeah.
Pick it up then.
Okay. We'll give it a go. With that in mind, is there a motion to close the meeting?
Well, I just have...
You have some other business?
Can't. We only got one business.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Is there a motion to close the meeting?
I make a motion to close the meeting.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.